and welcome to Eat Wise. My name is Sammy, and I am your host. I'm a registered dietitian who loves listening and sharing stories of the incredible people we surround ourselves with each day. Each of us have a different story and a story to tell with a different relationship with food. Food and drinks are a universal language, and no matter where any of us are in life, we all share the need for food. Our bodies need food to function, and without food, we wouldn't be able to grow, think, or interact with those around us who may not even speak the same language. In some cultures, offering food is all they can do because that's all they have. I personally believe food is meant to bring people together of all walks of life and can influence those around us. So this podcast is all about that. Sharing stories of those not so normal humans around us. So join us as we talk to these individuals who are willing to put themselves out there and share their stories. So subscribe to Eat Wise Food and Journeys. Each episode will tell a different story, but share the same and common ground of food or beverages. And yes, we'll include stories of brewmasters, coffees connoisseurs, not your average humans, because they all deal with what you put in your body. And whatever the social gathering is, it may deal with food. So thanks for being here today, guys. And I have a special episode with Coach Sands. He is going to share his story from when he first fell in love with baseball to switching roles and playing football at the Citadel, and then he became a coach himself. Coach Sands has a huge heart, and it shows through his work and his work with the West Foundation. If you haven't heard of the West Foundation, because honestly, I didn't until I talked to Coach, but it's an organization that hosts super awesome events. For example, they have a football and cheerleading camp, usually in the summers. Might be a little different this summer, we'll see. They have basketball clinics, they have mental health seminars, and they just have general life tips that kids may not be getting at home that they offer on their website and in person, and it's super awesome. They also have an online radio show that has some super awesome people on there giving out really cool information. That radio show is Tuesday nights from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you're ever driving or you're at home just meandering around, tune in and see what they have for that week. But guys, I'm going to quit chattering now, and we're going to roll into Coach Sands' interview so you can hear it from him himself. So let's get going. Hi, Albert. Thanks for being with us today and being willing to share your story. We're going to start off with some icebreaker questions to kind of break it in, and then we'll go into your life story. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Well, Sammy, I went to the Citadel. And Citadel is a military school. And when you graduate from Citadel, you end up being one of two things. You either stay on that schedule where you're up at 6 in the morning, or you sleep all day. I stayed on that schedule. So I'm up early in the morning. Sleeping in to me is 6:30. You know, 7 o'clock is definitely sleeping in for me. So I'm definitely an early bird.
What's the earliest you've gotten up?
This morning I woke up about 5:45.
Okay.
And see, the thing for me is, and that's not the earliest I've gotten up, but the thing for me is, you know, once I get up, my mind starts thinking about what I could be doing. So I just get on up versus just laying in trying to go back to sleep. I just go on and get up.
Would you consider yourself more sensitive or tough?
Sensitive or tough? In what aspect? If you're talking from a cultural perspective, I try to be tough, but at the same time, have empathy for the kid that I'm dealing with. I believe that there's times when you can be too soft and it's a detriment to the kid. So I believe in discipline. I believe in that there's a consequence for your actions. But I can be sensitive at times as well.
What about with your daughter?
With my daughter? Yeah. I've been told I treat my boys differently than I treat my daughter. So I guess I'm probably a little bit more sensitive. But I try to be tough too.
Okay. So waffles or pancakes?
Oh, pancakes all day long.
Do you put any fruit in your pancakes?
I eat fruit, you know, on my pancakes at times, but I don't have to have fruit with my pancakes. I just like pancakes.
Just Just plain Dane guy.
Yep. You know, I think they mess up pancakes when they put chocolate chips in.
Oh, really?
Yes. Why are you going to put a chocolate chip in a perfectly good pancake? Now, blueberry, I can deal with the blueberry. But a chocolate chip? Nah. They mess up a good pancake that way.
Oh, you and I are different on that. Love chocolate chips in my pancakes. Sweet or savory?
I'll probably go with sweet. I do have a sweet tooth.
But you don't like chocolate chips?
No, I like chocolate chip cookies. Oh. I just don't like chocolate chips in my pancakes. I love chocolate chip cookies.
Okay. Spotify or Apple Music?
You know, that's a tough one because I get Apple Music for free. But I still use Spotify at times because I like some of the aspects of Spotify better than I like Apple Music. And probably the biggest thing I don't like about Apple Music is if you change on your computer, if you change the speaker, like I have a Bluetooth speaker or I might have my headphones, if you change the speaker, you have to get out of the whole program and start it over. So I don't like that about Apple Music.
Who is your favorite football coach?
My favorite football coach. Well, I played golf with Coach Steve Spurrier yesterday. The old ball coach, you know, I worked for him for 4 years when I was at University of South Carolina. And I wouldn't hesitate to say that he's probably the best coach I've ever worked for.
What is your favorite movie?
My favorite movie is going to be The Five Heartbeats. And that's probably a movie you've never heard of.
No.
But it's a movie that most of my players have heard at least a line out of. And at times have watched part of it with me. The Five Heartbeats is about a music group. And the thing that I love about that story is about friendship, about going through hard times, about coming together, about falling out. And at the end, they came back together again. So that's my favorite movie.
Last question before we get rolling. If you could be a superhero, what would your power be?
If I could be a superhero, what would my superpower be? See, my first thought is I want to be like Superman, because Superman has so many of them. So I want to be Superman. So I could run fast. I can be strong. I could fly. I can see through buildings. I could hear when somebody's whispering about me across the room. I mean, he's got it all. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be Superman? Superman is the dude.
Superman! Okay, my opera career never took off, and that's okay. But let's jump into your story. Everett, where do you call home?
I call Conway, South Carolina home, which is right around the Myrtle Beach area, which a lot of people heard of Myrtle Beach. But I am originally from Norwalk, Connecticut. But I moved to Conway when I was 7 years old, and that's where my mom is from. Excuse me. So that's what I call home. And, you know, just a little bit, my parents, my mom was the first African-American and the first woman to work at the post office in my hometown.
Really? That's awesome.
Yep. And then my dad is from the Bahamas. So they actually met in Connecticut. They got married up there. And then after my mom's stepmom passed, she wanted to be near her dad, so we moved back down south. And so that's how I got down to South Carolina. And like I said, that's what I call home. Through high school, I played a variety of sports. I wrestled. I played baseball. Baseball was actually my first love. I wasn't really a basketball guy. I ran track, and of course, I played football. And then I went on to the Citadel, which is where I got my degree in computer science. Had opportunity to play ball there. They even let me touch the ball every once in a while. So I had a pretty decent career. And that was a definitely a place that you learned a lot, not just about yourself, but about everybody else as well. And that was a great opportunity for me to come and get a better idea of who I was and what it takes to be successful, regardless of what you got going on.
So what position did you play?
I was a running back.
Okay.
I was a running back. And one of the things that I'm proud about is that was actually the winningest era in Citadel's history.
Congrats.
Thank you, man. They've actually won in, I guess it was 61 or 62, they won a Southern Conference championship, and then we won one in 92. And then I think the next one they won was like 2014 or 2015.
Oh, there's a decent gap.
Yep.
So your first love was baseball. When did you fall in love with football?
Well, let me tell you why, part of the reason why my first love is baseball. As I said, my dad's from the Bahamas. Now, he actually got drafted by the New York Mets when he was 15 years old, but his mother would not let him go. She's like, you're too young to go to the States, so I'm not letting you go. So his first love is baseball. And of course, so we grew up throwing, hitting, doing all this stuff with my dad. Now, my uncle, my mom's brother, was the football guy. And part of the reason why I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan was when I was about 5 or 6, he came to me and said, are you a Steelers fan? And before I could say anything, if you're not, I'm going to kill you. So, yeah, I'm a Steelers fan. I've been a Steelers fan ever since. But he was the football guy. You know, he was a running back in high school, and he was just the football guy. He was actually my first football coach. And so I played football in Little League, he wasn't my first football coach, he was my second. But he sort of helped shape me, because I remember the first game I ever played in, I scored a touchdown, which I'm ecstatic that I scored a touchdown. But he helped put it in perspective. I said, I scored a touchdown. He said, did you win? No, sir. It don't matter then.
Oh.
To put it in perspective. So I learned at an early age that it's not about me, it's about the team. And then I got an opportunity to play for him, you know, when I moved up to the next level of rec league ball, which I don't even know if we lost the game. I don't know. So so he was one of my first coaches. And then as my high school coach likes to tell this story, in my freshman year, I played B squad football, which is ninth grade football. And I was also in the band. I played the drums. So my sophomore year, I was like, I'm not going to play football. I'm just going to be in the band. So my coach came to me and said, hey, how about this? You play junior varsity football. You come to practice, half of practice, then you can go to band practice, then you can play on football on Thursday nights, and then you can play in the band on Friday at the games. So I was like, all right, cool. And as he tells the story, after I scored my first touchdown, he knew he had me. So after that year, I sort of stopped being in band, and I was full-time football.
You regret it?
Oh, no. Definitely not. Definitely not. Now, of course, you know, hey, I was a guy, so the band, you had the pretty girls, that the flag girls and all that stuff. That was enticing. But once I got on the field, you know, it was a little bit different.
What is it like being on the field? What is that feeling to you?
It is, first of all, one, knowing that everybody's counting on each other to do their job. You know, that feeling of being part of a team is huge. And that's one of the things I'm trying to create right now, meaning that I'm not in it. But it is just, you know, an exhilarating deal when your team goes out and you do something well. And being a running back, I had opportunity to make a few plays. And when you make a play, you know, that's a great feeling as well. And I'll never forget where I sort of created my running style. My favorite running backs are Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, and Larry Zonka. Larry Zonka was the big fullback that was just one of those nasty brute guys. And we had a scrimmage once, and it's sort of where I sort of started to separate myself. With the girl I was dating at the time, I don't remember what she did, but I was mad.
Uh-oh.
And that day I ran mad. And I was able to run some people over and keep running, and that just sort of, I was like, you know what, I like this. And that sort of became my running style later on, which actually at the Citadel, I garnered the name the Sandman.
So So your nickname?
Exactly.
So what did it look like when you transitioned from high school to college?
Well, it was definitely different. You know, the speed of the game is totally different. Because again, at the college level, this is the best high school players now that you're playing against. You know, one of the things that I'll never forget is one of the first carries I had, I saw a huge hole, but it closed up really quick. And that was sort of, you know, my introduction that the speed of the game is different. And, you know, you got to go on and make sure that you're going to adjust to it and let's go make some things happen. But there was a transition there. And, for me, I had opportunity to redshirt. And I say I had the opportunity. I wasn't forced. Well, actually, I was sort of forced. But I think it was for my benefit that I got a chance to redshirt. You know, I had a really good fullback in front of me. His name was Adrian Johnson. And, my thought was he rushed for over 1,000 yards. I was like, if he can do it, I can do it. So that's kind of my mentality. And I just went to work, you know, during that year of being on the scout team. I looked at it, me and another one of my partners looked at it, well, hey, if we go out here and we ball out, we're playing the best guys that we have, and our goal is to make them do up-downs because we run up and down the field. And we had some opportunities to do that, which was good.
Did you have any struggles in college?
I was at the Citadel. See, Sammy, you don't understand the Citadel, obviously.
I don't, not at all.
The Citadel is a military school. So what does that mean? That means your freshman year, you're called a knob. You're up every morning at 6 o'clock for formation. And that means you got to be dressed and ready to go. You got formation. Then we had what we call a sweep the tail, where we had to sweep we call it the quad, which was a battalion, you know, the middle part of there. Then we had another formation. We went to breakfast. Then you went to class. And you had a formation to go to lunch. Then you went back to class or practice. Then you had another formation to go to dinner. Then you had to be in your room at 10:30 every night, and lights were supposed to be off. And I say supposed to be, of course, if you got work to do, you can do it at 11 o'clock. And you couldn't leave campus unless it was the weekend. So yeah, we had struggles.
So your life was really structured.
Very much so. Very much so.
So when you go from a super structured lifestyle like that to like once you graduated college, what did that look like afterwards? Were you completely lost?
Now, hey, as I said before, when you graduate, you either one or two ways. You're either going to stay getting up early in the morning, or you'll be like, man, it's over. I can sleep. I can do what I want to do. You're either going to keep your room squared away. You know, as I look at my closet, most of my hangers are still two fingers apart.
Oh, my gosh.
Or you're just going to take stuff off and throw it wherever it is. You know, so it depends. You know, some guys, you know, they sort of just throw it all away and then eventually get back to it.
But
as
you
far
have to the do it.
Structure part.
Yeah. What did you do after college?
Well, I chased football. I had opportunity to go up to Baltimore, CFL team. And unfortunately, I got released 3 days before the first game. Mm. And the very last practice, I'll never forget it, you know, as I'm sitting in the last meeting. So we went to practice. After practice, we had a meeting. So I'm dapping one of my guys up, hey, we made it. And as we came out of the meeting, we called him the Grim Reaper. It's like, come here. The head coach wants to see you. And you're like, dang. But then I was working for a company where we built and sold computers. I was a computer science major. And this is sort of my story of how I got into coaching. So after football, I came back. I'm back working at the store. And one day, I'm just sitting at my desk working on something. And my boss comes by and said, Everett, you're supposed to be somewhere playing professional football. And my overhead's getting high. And he walked away. That's all he said. About 2 or 3 days later, a small school came by and said, hey, we just fired our head football coach and our math computer science teacher decided to go back into the military. Are you interested? So I thought about what my boss said. Yes, I am. So at 24, I had a, actually at 23, getting ready to turn 24, I had opportunity to be a head high school coach. I was actually the youngest high school coach in the state's history. And that's where my coaching career started.
And then where did it lead you afterwards? Where have you all been?
Well, the what happened not too long after that, well, I started in May. In December, my position coach at the Citadel got a head coaching job at Elon College. And he called me up and asked me to come be, now this was a small school in transition from going Division II to 1AA. He asked me to come be the running back coach. So I jumped on that opportunity. Now, when I was at Elon, I wasn't just the running back coach. I was also the strength coach for the athletic department and the academic advisor for the athletic department.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. So during registration, I met with every athlete at the school.
That's a lot of hats to wear.
That is. But it helped prepare me for the other things that I have in the future as well. So that was good. After that, I went back to my alma mater, the Citadel. Then I went up to Ohio University. Then I came back to my alma mater. And then I went to North Carolina State. Then I spent 1 year there. Then came to the University of South Carolina. Then went out to the University of Texas, San Antonio. And then last year, I was at Coastal Carolina.
You've been all over.
Yep. So 25 years running around the country.
Wow. And how does it feel to be in one place now?
Well, my thought was, if I stay in one place too long, I'm going to get in trouble. but it's all good. You know, it's a lot of family time. And really, with this pandemic, I'm glad that I'm not somewhere else. For instance, where I had to be away during this time, especially with the family all right here. I'm blessed to be able to spend this time with the family.
That's an awesome outlook. During your time of coaching, did you have nights where you would like sleep on a cot in your office or anything crazy of those aspects?
Well, of course, two-a-days are no longer now. But during two-a-days, I used to sleep in my office. But there was a stretch of about 3 or 4 years where I didn't see my family awake, especially the kids. I didn't see them awake except for on Fridays if it was a home game, Saturdays if it was a home game, or Sunday mornings. So it was like we were in at 6 a.m. and we didn't get home till 9:30, 10 o'clock. And that was tough. That was tough.
What did that do to your heartstrings?
Well, you know, really when you're in it, you're just in it. You know, because at the time the kids were younger. But you don't realize how much you miss. And, you know, and then I think the real important thing is as I got to NC State and as I got to University of South Carolina, we didn't spend that much time like that grinding. And we were successful. So that sort of proved to me that you don't have to grind like that to be successful.
That's a cool perspective because I feel like a lot of people feel like they just have to literally give their life and be there the entire day.
Exactly. Here's what Coach Spurrier told me one day. Because one of the things that we did is we had Wednesday evenings, we had family dinner. So everybody in the program, strength coaches, the janitors, the equipment guys, the film guys, the nutrition, everybody was there in their families. And then, you know, we'd be there for about an hour, hour and a half. We'd go back, watch film, and I was still home by 8:30. But the thing was, one day I was just like, Coach, you know, I really appreciate you doing this and having the families over here. And he said, Everett, I don't want to outwork anybody, but I want to out-prepare everybody. And there's something to that. And I think a lot of times coaches feel we got to outwork everybody instead of putting yourself in a position to out-prepare everybody. because you can work yourself out of a good game plan. Been there, done that. Where you see one thing on Thursday and all of a sudden, hey, we got to change everything. I saw him do this one time. You know, how do you know that kid didn't make a mistake? And now all of a sudden we stay there later trying to change the game plan because of, we saw one thing. So that's how I kind of put everything in perspective. I want to out-prepare you. I'm not going to try to outwork.
I love that. That's awesome. So what advice would you give those who are wanting to get into coaching and specifically football?
First and foremost, ask yourself why you're doing it. I think a lot of guys these days see there's a lot more money in it now than it was 20 years ago, really 10 years ago. So a lot of guys see the money aspects of it and say, that's why I want to do it. If that's why you're doing it, then you're not going to be a great coach. Key is to want to be able to develop young men, not just from a football perspective, but to help them become better young men. And if that's why you're doing it, I think you're going to be a better coach. And if you're just doing it because, hey, you want the glamour, you want the money, then you're probably not going to be as effective as you could be. But so that's one of the things that I tell a lot of young people is don't chase the money, chase something that you love. Because if you chase something you love, the money will come. But if you're just chasing the money, you know, there's a lot of guys that I went to school with and know, they're like, man, I would love to coach. I just can't afford to do it right now, making too much money. And I don't think that's any way to live.
What is your definition of being a good leader?
Being a good leader, I think that being a good leader is a combination of making sure that you can take people to places that they might necessarily want to go, but know that they need to go. But at the same time, bringing out the best that you can out of them. And sometimes that's a fine line right there. Because you've been at football practice and you know there's sometimes when guys just don't want to do it because you don't feel like it. But if you, even when you get to work, if you have to feel great every day, then you're not going to be very good. And that's in your work or on the football field. So you got to go on and pull that out of yourself. And sometimes you need a leader to help pull it out of you. And I think that's what a leader does.
So say it's game day and you guys are about to go out on the field. If you're willing, what would you tell them?
Well, here's the one thing. There's two things that my guys heard me say a lot of times. One is the goal isn't to be better than anybody else. The goal is to be better than I was yesterday. So the key is let's just find a way to get better today. And then on game day, they're going to hear me say, hey, all I want you to do is your best. I don't care if you are the best, just do your best because your best is good enough. And if you go out there, you lay it on the line, we'll let the scoreboard take care of itself.
That's awesome. So you got out of the game for a little while for right now. You kind of transitioned. What does that do to your heartstrings as football is starting to go and you're not in the middle of everything?
Well, you know, for COVID has helped. Because football hasn't been on the forefront of your mind. You know, kind of what happened with me is last year I was at Coastal and my family was here in Columbia, so I'm about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours away. I got home about once a week. My daughter's gonna be a senior this year. It was like somebody tapped me on my shoulder. It was like, do you want to be away when your daughter's going through her senior year, knowing that once they go off to college, they're gone? And I was like, no, that's not what I want. So that was the reason why I walked away. Now, and again, COVID sort of shut everything down, you know, and football is just starting to get kicked up. So even though people were practicing, you just didn't hear about it. And now that the games are on, there's some times when I'm like, you know, one, I'm watching it from an analytical standpoint. And two, you know, during the week, it is a few times I'm like, man, we'd be working on short yardage goal line right now. We'll be watching practice. So, yeah, I mean, it's still there. That's still my passion. And we'll see if what the Lord puts in front of me, if I'm going to get back into it.
Are you worried of getting back into it? Are you just kind of going with the flow?
I'm not worried at all.
Yeah.
I'm not worried at all. And as I said earlier, I don't know if or how much time my daughter's going to spend with me, but I'm going to be here just in case. And then I have a younger son as well, so to have an opportunity just to go out and work with him on some receiver drills and conditioning and throw the balls around, hey, that's precious.
Well, I bet they're going to cherish that for so long, too, because they've never had an opportunity, really, right?
Yep, exactly, exactly, especially this time of year.
Yeah. So when we were in Green Bay, gosh, was that last year? That was last year, last fall.
That was last year.
Mm-hmm. What was the advice that you gave me?
What was that?
So we were talking and I said something about it's who you know. And you said, no, it's not who you know, it's who knows you.
Who knows you. Exactly. Exactly. And the thing there is, by the time you get to somebody you know, it's already done. But if you have somebody calling you on the inside, then you got a great chance. And that's still no guarantee, because I had some guys call me from the inside, and I still didn't get opportunity. But it is definitely about who knows you. And you know what? Actually, this year, I sort of changed it a little bit again, because now it's just not who knows you, it's who's your buddy. Because there's a lot of guys that are getting jobs because their buddy got a job.
That's true, yeah.
And so, you know, my wife asked me one time, well, you need to change your buddies. I was like, well, hey, my buddies are my buddies. I'm not going to be that guy buddy because I think he might get a job. That's not who I am. But if your buddy, and I see a lot of guys that don't necessarily have the experience, but they got the right buddy. And then next thing you know, they're moving up the chain pretty fast.
Yeah. But again, it still comes back to that, who knows you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. And see, and that's another thing that I learned at the Citadel. Because again, one of the things there is, like I said, it's a military school. So there's rank. So you're freshmen, you're all privates, you're sophomores, you know, you can be corporals. As you get to a junior, there's some type of sergeant, and then your officers are your seniors. And one of the things that I learned is that you can get promoted a couple of different ways. One, because you earned it. Two, because you knew somebody. And then three, because you kissed somebody behind. And that's true in life, because some people get promoted because they earn it. Some because, hey, that's my buddy right there and he's going to take care of me. And some because you're kissing somebody behind. But, you know, one of the beautiful things, I was able to learn that when I was in college. And a lot of people don't learn that until they're in their late 30s. And so, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah. You also learn quickly to not burn bridges.
Exactly.
One thing I always tell my interns, I'm like, don't burn your bridge in sports.
Definitely, because you never know. Never know. There's a lot of times that you see, for instance, a buddy of mine who just went to a different school this year, the guy that's the head coach was his GA.
Oh.
So there's times that, you know, length of time in a business doesn't mean anything. It's, again, being in the right place at the right time. It might be your buddy get a job and brings you along. But there's sometimes, you know, guys that work for you, you're now working for them.
Yeah, that's a different perspective. So
something to think of.
Yeah, absolutely. So since you stepped away, what does your team look like now? What are you doing? Well, stepped away temporarily.
Well, we'll see if it's temporary or not. Well, my plan was, I said I was going to still coach, but I was going to coach on finance. So I wanted to go in and just help people from a financial perspective. And, you know, still the base of every plan should be insurance, and just to help, you know, people make sure that they have the proper coverage, because there's about 80% of America is either underinsured or not insured at all. And a lot of times you see families go from middle class to lower class because one of the breadwinners passed away and they didn't have proper insurance. So now all of a sudden you got the same bills and only one check coming in. So just something to think about. And there's some other different aspects of that just to help people from a financial perspective. So that was my goal. That was my plan. That's what I was going to do. So as I started that, a good friend of mine called me up and said, Everett, I told you I'm going to have something for you. I'm expanding my business and I want you to come help me. So I was like, all right, sure. And then as we started talking, and he was like, yeah, you know, when you get back to coaching, you can still do this. It's not a problem. And then I was like, you know what? I'm stepping out. He said, oh, are you? And then within 2 weeks, he named me president of the company.
Wow.
So the name of the company is Clear. And what we do is we sell air filters. Now, the crazy thing is, it's like almost perfect timing, because right now we sell specifically what they call MERV 13. And the reason why that is important is the MERV 13, and the way the MERVs are, let me back up a little bit. The way the MERV rating is, the higher the MERV, the better the filter is. And most of your filters don't really do much to protect the people inside. It's just there to protect the HVAC. But the MERV 13 will actually catch the coronavirus and bacteria-sized particles. So right now there is a shortage of MERV 13 in the country.
And you guys got it?
And we have. And then also because of this, the pandemic, we take the material that we make the air filters out of and make mask filters. So, you know, one of the things with your mask is you wear a mask to protect everybody else from you. Okay? But you have one of these filters in to protect you from everybody else.
So does it come with a mask or is it just the filter?
Well, we're in the process now of partnering with a mask, some mask manufacturers to go on and sell them. But right now we're just selling the filters.
Cool. That's pretty awesome.
Yes, it is.
So that was your buddy. So your buddy reached out to you.
Yes.
That new philosophy of your buddy.
Exactly. There you go. That's it. Hey, I never would have thought of being in the air filter business. That wasn't even, you know, nowhere near my plans. But my buddy reached out to me. There you go. Once again, it's all about who knows you and who's your buddy.
Yeah. There you go. I like that put together. And also you said, tell me a little bit more about the West Foundation. I was looking it up once you sent me your hashtags and handles. Right. That looks awesome.
Yeah, that's and really that's another place where I'm pouring my time. The West Foundation, we started in 2017. So this will be the fourth year. And the thought was, we want to help kids understand that they can be successful without being a professional athlete. Now the key is, we don't want them to not chase their dream. We want you to chase your dream. Matter of fact, as a coach, if you don't want to play in the next level, then I don't want to coach you. Because everybody should want that dream. Now, everybody's not going to make it, but I want you to have that dream. And if you have that dream, that means you're going to work hard. Mm-hmm. But the key is, not everybody's going to make it. And what's even more important than that is, one day, everybody are going to hang up their cleats or their basketball shoes or their tennis shoes or whatever it is. So your sport's going to end at some point. And we want to give the kids tools to make sure that they can be successful whenever that point is. Whether it's 18 when they go off to college, whether it's 21 when they finish college, whether it's 25 after they played a couple of years, or it's 35 and they had a great career. We want to help give them those tools. So our base, our big deal is, our big function is we have a free football and cheerleading camp in the summertime. Of course, we didn't have it this year. But we have it in my hometown of Conway, South Carolina. And last year, we had about 175 kids out there. Everything we do is free for the kids. And what makes our camp a little different is I pull guys that played for me and a few guys that played with me to come be the coaches. So now kids get an opportunity to see somebody that they saw on TV, a couple of years ago. And some of them are still playing professionally. Or they might have seen them, that previous year. And they're there. So now they get an opportunity to say, hey, that guy made it. Or that guy right there is now a doctor. Or he's a businessman. Or he's a lawyer. I can do that as well. So we want to give them a vision of success. And then not only that, we have started our Success Beyond Sports as well, which is a series of life skills that we want to go on and introduce to the kids. Last fall, we did one on social media, the do's and don'ts of social media. This spring, the plan was to have the basketball clinic, and then after the basketball clinic, we're going to have a seminar on mental wellness and how it affects athletic performance. COVID happened, so we had to postpone it. And then in June, we went on and had the mental wellness seminar. So we had about four professionals come on, and we just sat around and we just talked about mental wellness and how it affects athletic performance. From the self-talk to the parental pressure that's put on some kids, to the pressures that kids put on themselves, and peer pressure. We also did a webinar. We were planning on doing a seminar, but because we had to move it to webinar, one on financial literacy. So in late July, we did another one on financial literacy. Once again, got three or four professionals, and we just talked about different aspects of finances. And since then, about a month ago, when I was first brought to my attention that he wanted me to do this, he's like, hey, a friend of mine said, I got a little radio station. It's online radio. I have an extra night. And I want to give it to the West Foundation. So we just started doing a radio station, a radio show 2 weeks ago. And hopefully we're going to get you on there for real soon. I think the 29th is when we got you coming on, right?
Yeah, that'll be fun. I'm excited.
So we're excited about that. That is extending our reach and help us to reach more people. And hopefully, again, our goal is to just help kids understand that they can be successful without being a professional athlete.
So what is that radio station?
Again, it's internet radio. So it's
Southern Sports Central?
Yep, Southern Sports Central.
Okay, cool. I like that you guys are bringing in these life skills for these kids. And I think mental health, it's, I don't know if it's becoming more prevalent or if people are just acknowledging it more. But I think it's so important.
Yes. And it's, one of the things that the plan was in January that the next thing was going to do was financial literacy. And I don't know if you remember the kid from that had signed with Georgia Tech that killed himself. So he signed and it was like a week or two later, he stepped in front of a train. So the board and I made a decision we need to go on to address mental wellness because it is an issue. And we need to talk about it, something we need to talk about. And we need to let kids know that it's okay to talk about, what you're thinking about. And you just don't have to keep it all inside. Because at times, if you keep it all inside, it's got to come out at some point. And you'd rather come out talking with somebody rather than to have an explosion of some sort.
Yeah. It's okay to not be okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So how long is this camp that you guys have in the summer?
It's just one day.
Okay.
It's just one day. The goal is to make it a two-day camp. Again, some of the goals that I have are huge because one of the things I would love to do is eventually have it be a week camp and just have a select few. Again, we can't have everybody there for a week, but one of the things that we've talked about doing is having a week-long camp where those life skills that we're talking about, we bring people in to talk about it. And then it's just not a football deal. We're going to do other sports as well. for some of the kids that have never been exposed to golf or tennis and things of that sort. Just have that be part of the camp. And then also have an educational piece in it, because that's one of the things that I truly believe is the key for you being successful, mm-hmm. is the education piece. And the thing that we also want to do is, it doesn't have to be a collegiate education, because there's a lot of plumbers and welders that make a lot of money.
Yeah. And
the thing with that plumber, when he comes, you're going to pay him whatever he asks for, because he know what he's doing and you don't.
Yep.
So again, everybody doesn't have to get that college education like we're talking about, but they can go get a trade, go learn a trade, but it's still an education piece of it, and they have to go learn. Mm-hmm. And if they're willing to go put the time in to learn, then they have opportunity to be successful.
Yeah, that's cool. And that's awesome that you have the financial background, because money's awkward. It's so awkward to talk about. And a lot of kids don't get it at home either.
Yes. Most of them don't. Most of them don't. You know, I've been accused of my household of being a little tight. But there's a good reason for that. When I was a freshman in college in February, my mother sent me $100. And she said, don't ask for any more money the rest of the year. So I learned how to budget. Real quick, because I knew she was serious.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry.
Did you spread out your $100? Are you spending?
Oh, yeah, it was one of those. I can't get a drink before this class. I gotta wait. Okay, this class I can get. I know I'll be tired. I'm gonna get a soda before this one. But I was, yeah, so definitely. But you know, but again, it was something that you thought about, and a lot of kids don't think about it. And it's one of those, you know, and that's, you know, the question was asked, well, how are you going to have something on financial literacy with little kids? Well, sometimes they understand that if mama and daddy said no, that means no. And there's a reason why they said no. But if you keep saying, you keep asking, at times they might break down and say yes, and now that means you're not going to be able to get something else that the family might need. So it's just an awareness of just finances. And I think just being aware will definitely help with the literacy part of it.
Oh, absolutely. Thinking about support, listeners wanted to look up the West Foundation. Obviously, they can look it up online, but mm-hmm. I think there's also a tab where they can donate too, right?
Yes, yes. Okay. The website address is wesffc.com. Again, that's wesffc.com. And there is a donate tab on there as well.
I want to help out in the future anyway, if you'll utilize me. And
definitely. Definitely.
However.
We need to get you back. We need to get you on down to the south anyway, so you can see some of this heat that we have.
Some of the sunshine?
Yeah.
I can do that. I like the sunshine. But alrighty, so we'll kind of wrap this up, and thank you for being here and telling us your life and your stories and your crazy madness that you've gone through. One last thing I ask all my guests. It can be this week, it can be this past month, or even this year, whatever you want. What is one thing that you're incredibly grateful for?
My family. You know, we haven't talked much about my oldest son, but he's a sophomore at Vandy. I'm super proud of him. He's a mechanical engineer. My daughter, super proud of her. My youngest son, he don't even know what a B is yet. So I'm proud of him from an academic standpoint. Also proud of him from an athletic standpoint, all of them. And my wife actually just got her doctorate in, I guess it was April. So proud of her as well. So I'm just super happy for my family. Grateful for my family.
That's so cool. And are you guys a super close-knit family?
We're pretty close. We're pretty close. Yeah. Now, you know, I realize, again, when they go off to college, they don't like to call back much.
That independence. They've been
set. Yeah. Now, hey, but as soon as he needs something, he will call.
Sounds about
but I guess that's par for the course for college students. So.
Yeah. So cherish the time that you have with all of them.
Yep, definitely. Definitely.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on Eatwise, Everett, and this has been awesome.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Hi, friends. I love my chats with Coach Sands. He has so many amazing views on life and work. And whether you're in coaching or sports or something completely different, you could take some of his words of wisdom by knowing your buddies, being better today than you were yesterday, and knowing that you don't have to outwork everyone, just out-prepare them. Those are some solid words of wisdom, so take them as you will. Ask yourself, what are you doing today that's different than yesterday? And try to bring out the best in yourself and others. Challenge yourself. Well, if you haven't, I invite you to subscribe to Eatwise Food and Journeys. Check out my social media pages at EatwiseRD on Facebook and Instagram, or my website. And if there's anything you guys want to learn or hear, or you think you have a story you want to share, send me a message. I'm totally open to it. I'm here for you. I'm also here to learn for myself and be a listener. So give me feedback. Whatever it may be, feel free to share. But friends, until next episode, go do great things. Challenge yourself to be better today than you were yesterday. And have an awesome week.